The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Your story defines who you are. Today, you can learn from your body, your mind, and most importantly, the stories that shape your life. Welcome to Tuesdays with Maureen, Tales from the Search for True Self. It'll be an amazing journey that we'll explore together. Now, here's Maureen.
And welcome to all you fellow travelers in this adventure we call life for another segment of Tuesdays with Maureen, Tales from the Search for True Self. And in our continuation of the search for true self, I wanted to discuss that those among us who you may not notice, they're walking among us, and some people are just activators of ancient knowledge. And the guest I'm bringing on today, Tehaya, is someone who is an activator of ancient knowledge. She brings ancient arts to our modern world. And you're probably thinking, Maureen, what are you talking about? What? How do you know if someone's bringing ancient knowledge to the modern world, and what does this mean? So I thought I would tell you how I met Tehaya, which was life-changing for me. So some years ago, I was in the Rocky Mountains at a wonderful, wonderful retreat for dancers. And this retreat is for what you call belly dancers or oriental dance dancers. And my teacher, Susanna Del Vecchio, holds this retreat every summer. And I can only also add that I've been fortunate to study with Susanna Del Vecchio, in that she is also one of these people who brings in very ancient ways to the modern world. So at this particular retreat of Susanna's, Tehaya was the guest instructor. And Tehaya is statuesque, redheaded, just brimming with life and energy. And Tehaya was teaching an invocation that comes from East India. And this invocation is an ancient invocation that involved hand movement and some body movement. And she spoke the words as she was demonstrating it. And as I was following along with her, I was literally overcome. It felt like I was in my body but out of my body. And it was as if my heart had cracked open and I felt a rush of awareness and sensitivity that went beyond this world, extended out into some other place. I'll just call it the cosmos, but it was just out there. And it was the only thing I can equate it to is a divine experience. And I can tell you that if someone else had taught that invocation, it would not have triggered the same response in me. The response that was triggered by working with Tehaya completely involved body, mind, and spirit for me. So I'm very excited to have Tehaya here so that we can discuss Tehaya's wonderful working with ancient arts. And welcome, Tehaya.
Thank you, Maureen.
It's really great to have you. And we have a lot to cover today, and I just thought maybe we could start with this calling of yours and all that you do is something that perhaps as a small child, were you aware of this? Did it come to you later? Let's start with, how did this start for you?
Well, first of all, let me thank you so much for letting me share a few moments of time with you to share my passion with you and your listeners. I'm absolutely honored to be spending this time with you. And in response to your question, I can say that for sure, I always loved to dance. So when I was a little girl, I was a Shirley Temple wannabe and wanted to study dance, but I wasn't built to a ballerina's size. And in those days, that was really the only thing that was available to someone who wanted to study dance was ballet. In my community, we didn't have any jazz classes. We didn't have any African dance classes. Those things sort of came along later, maybe in the late 60s, early 70s. But when I was a young girl, the only style of dance that was available was ballet. So I became a very studious young person and applied myself to my work at school and kind of pushed aside my love for the arts and my passion for the arts and was not encouraged to pursue the arts. But when I became a young woman in my late teens, as fate would have it, I had the opportunity to see a variety of dance classes that were being offered at a local adult education program. And so, to the best of my knowledge, I signed up for a Hawaiian dance class. But as fate would have it, I landed up in the room where there was a woman teaching belly dancing. And she was playing the music. And at that time, I was a very shy person, and I was in the back of the room, and I didn't dare walk out and let the teacher know that I had landed in the wrong classroom. I just remained silently in the back, being introduced to Middle Eastern music, and that is what triggered it for me. It was the sound of those beautiful, rich, soulful rhythms of Middle Eastern and North African music that swept me away on a beautiful and intriguing magic carpet ride. And that, more or less, is how it all started.
And there was not the issue that you had with being in ballet class, that you were not an appropriate physical type, or that this you didn't look like someone who would fit into this type of dance?
No, that was one of the most beautiful things about it, is that as I continued to pursue the dance, which, by the way, the first classes that I took, again, I was in my mid to late teens, and this particular class was filled with women who were easily in their 40s, and it was sort of the beginning of the feminist movement, so women were just beginning to explore getting out of the house and doing something for themselves outside of taking care of the family and the home and the house and being a housewife. So these women were there for an exploration into something, and so as I continued, and I realized that the teacher was addressing these women as the dance being an opportunity to explore their sensuality. And that was very exciting to me, and yet her slant was that it was something these women could take home and enjoy with their husbands, if you will. And at that time, I was a young woman. I wasn't dating. The music was beckoning me on a very deep level and inviting me to go on a journey to discover something very deep within me. So as I continued my journey searching for a teacher, I finally found a woman who gave me, if you will, the key that unlocked the door to my understanding what this was that was beckoning me. And that key was that this was an art form or a sequence of movements that was very deeply steeped in women's culture, dating mm-hmm. back to ancient civilizations. And the traditions were an expression of femininity and sensuality and womanhood as a celebration in this female body. And it didn't matter what age you were, what shape, what size. It was available for all women.
That's very important. I think that still in today's world, there's a great deal of confusion just in life among women And our culture certainly doesn't help foster a sense of sensuality versus overt sexuality. And
right.
this form of dance, a lot of people confuse with overt sexuality, and it's a sensual dance. So how do you explain that to people, that what that understanding, that sensuality that is within?
Well, I quite frankly don't know that I do go about explaining it so much as just inviting women to experience the movements and let the movements facilitate their personal journey into experiencing and enjoying their sensuality. That's the beauty of these long-standing traditions that have been handed down in an oral tradition for thousands of years. They've been transmitted from mother or grandmother to daughter, or grandmother to granddaughter. And as a result, the movements awaken something deep within that gives us an appreciation of our sensuality, our femininity, our womanhood. It elevates our self-esteem. And I think that those are the things that are so beautifully inherent in these movements that I don't feel a need to explain the difference. I simply invite people to try the movements. And, you know, in a recent conversation we had, there have been occasions when I have had to make a presentation to a group of women who are uncomfortable with their bodies and who are uncomfortable with the idea of doing any movement. And so what I try to do is, rather than explain that this is going to be something that will awaken their sensuality, that might even be something that is intimidating to them.
Right.
So instead, I welcome them to the dance through the mudra that you were talking about that inspired you when you took the class with me at Susanna's retreat in Rocky Mountain National Park. So we start with the mudra. So I gently encourage them to begin to put movement into their bodies through doing simple hand gestures. And even in their simplicity, they are still very powerful. They not only are powerful in the tradition and the history and the intention behind the mudra, but also physically. As we begin to rotate the wrist and bring our fingers together and do different things, we begin to feel additional energy streaming through the forearm and into the wrist and so forth. So they're kind of gradually invited to do movement and begin to overcome that illness or that disease, if you will, of being uncomfortable in our bodies. So my mission, if you will, is to facilitate women feeling comfortable in their bodies.
And it's interesting that you do encounter a great fear of our bodies. I encounter it in my practice quite frequently. People, it's as if you're given this gift of a body, and at some point along the path of life, it becomes a thing that people don't know what to do with anymore. Weight gets put on, illnesses come, you hurt yourself, you've undergone emotional traumas that sit in the body, and instead of kind of getting into the body and moving through that and keeping that energy flowing, people, they don't know how to do this, and so it gets stagnant. And before we get to our first break, I wanted to also throw in here this, just what we're talking about, this concept of movement and being invited in. And that's the concept that everything is movement.
Mm-hmm.
Our cells are always moving, and they're dancing, and our neural pathways are moving, and we walk around on a planet that's full of movement, trees rustling, wind blowing, and the planet itself is moving.
Mm-hmm.
And we're part of a cosmos that's moving. So all is movement, and we'll come back to discuss all the exciting things around this concept when we return from our break. Stay tuned.
opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Do you take the time to regularly reassess your life? Ideally, you should be reviewing where you are and where you need to be every 90 days. Get the tools to help you when you tune in to Make Your Life a Feast with your host, Angie Yazalaitis. Angie's program is based on a 90-day mini wellness challenge. You will receive coaching to help you make simple but lasting changes in your life. If you're looking to change your health and well-being, let us help you find out where to start. And more importantly, get started. Make Your Life a Feast airs live Tuesdays at 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to Tuesdays with Maureen, Tales from the Search for True Self. To be a part of our discussion today, please call into the program at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. If you'd like, you may also send an email to mm@elderberryhealing.com. Now, back to Tuesdays with Maureen.
Welcome back. And if you're just joining us, this is Tuesdays with Maureen, Tales from the Search for True Self. And my guest today is Tehaya. And we were discussing before the break about how everything is movement, all of life is movement, and no matter how trapped you feel in your body, uncomfortable you feel in your body, you are still part of this movement. And Tehaya was discussing how she works with people, inviting them in. And there's no discussion about it. It truly is an invitation for others to join her, and it's kind of like before you know it, they're doing it.
Right, right. And I think one of the other ways I facilitate people feeling welcome is that, as you said in your introduction, thank you very much, you described me as statuesque. And I encourage women to recognize that I'm a full-figured woman, and I was built that way. That's how I came into this planet. You know, I was always a big girl. And so I wasn't built to a runway model size. And, you know, one of my favorite poems is by Maya Angelou that addresses that concept of, you know, some people wonder what, you know, people see in me. And it's the sparkle in my eyes and the curve of my smile. And And she, too, you know, is a woman of substance, right? So I celebrate the fact that the dance is warm and welcoming and an expression of femininity, sensuality, and womanhood in all of our splendor in a variety of bodies, shapes, and sizes. And I go on to explain to women that when, and this I think is what helps warm them up to the idea, because I'm not built to a perfect model size, and so they relate to me in that regard, and they see that I move with grace, and so there's maybe like an invitation that they too could do that. If I have been able to accomplish that, maybe they will. And furthermore, I can't help but explain with great enthusiasm how exciting it was for me to be awakened, as you described in the earlier segment, to this beautiful cracking of the heart and opening of the heart when I first heard these rhythms and was introduced to a variety of movements. And for
did it seem familiar to you when that happened? Was it kind of like almost like a welcoming home feeling, or...
Yes, absolutely. I explained that for me it was like hearing one of the tales of Scheherazade, and just like in the story of the boulder being rolled back when Aladdin said open sesame, for me it was like I heard that music and the boulder rolled back and there were the treasures in the cave, these sacred embers that were dormant within began to burn brightly, and it definitely was an acknowledgement and a beckoning to return, if you will. to something that had been asleep inside of me. And so it was very exciting. And I do tell that story to people, and maybe that's a little bit of an encouragement, because they may say to themselves, wow, you know, I wonder if that will happen for me. And I hope that as I play invigorating music and I teach them some of the movements, that they are somewhat awakened. And I have to tell you that I've had many, many, many people participate in my classes, and you know, the majority, easily, the greater majority of them, you witness something has shifted for them.
Which is a beautiful sight.
It's a privilege. It's a real privilege to be doing this work and to be having so much fun while I'm doing it.
Well, I did have, I have an email question for you, and this is from Mary Helen in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted to know that since it is the ancient arts that you are really a part of, have you ever been regressed? And do you believe in it, meaning past lives?
Mm-hmm.
And do you feel that it is integrated into who you are now?
Absolutely. Absolutely. What I am doing is fully integrated into who I am now. And with regards to the question of regression, no, I have not experienced past life regression, and I have to say that it is certainly a curiosity to me. I'm an American woman of German and Irish descent, and I'm often asked what drew me to these arts, but I can't help but wonder if either it's a past life experience, which I'm not sure of.
Mm-hmm.
What I feel more confident about is that it's a part of our DNA. So if we recognize that, you know, certain aspects of our personality, if you will, are embedded in our DNA, then that's something that's coming down and handed down, if you will, through the generations. Just as I explained that these particular traditions are handed down in an oral fashion, there's a part of me that thinks this is embedded in our DNA, because we sort of all come from this cradle of civilization, and it was in that cradle of civilization that many of these traditions were first birthed. So it seems more to me that when I heard these rhythms, it awakened that aspect of my DNA, because quite frankly, I can't explain it any other way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my heritage, my Irish heritage was not something that was communicated or celebrated in my home. My German heritage, it was very blank. It was very, I don't know, white, very white bread when I grew up. So this was very interesting to me to have this awakening.
And this awakening also, it's brought in instrumentals with drumming.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Middle Eastern movements, and it's also movements from India.
Mm-hmm.
And it just sounds like this is a path that continually is unfolding for you, and it's like it seems as if you're reaching deeper and further into this.
Right. Right.
These awakenings within you.
Right. Well, that's very true. Basically, what happened for me is that it ended up being an independently charted course of study. And I tell people all the time that it's been an incredible experience. It's like I took a dive into this very deep well, and I have yet to come back up for air. It, as you said, it's very deep and it's very rich. And I feel very blessed that I've been able to experience this and pursue this lifelong journey of study. Basically, what's happened is as I began to get involved in studying the movements, and I believe originally I might have heard Egyptian music. That might have been the first thing that inspired me.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I studied Egyptian and North African rhythms and dance. And then I kind of jumped across the Mediterranean and started studying countries and dances from more of the Near and Middle East. And then as I continued to study folkloric dances and the cabaret style of the dance that's inherent to these different countries comprising the Middle East, I then was introduced to Mimi Janislawski, who was a master of Eastern dance. And it was really Mimi, I have to say, who has been the most influential teacher in my life. She is a native to San Francisco and started her dance career as a classical ballerina and went on to get a degree from the Royal Academy of Ballet in London. And for her, it was leaving the stage door one day and seeing a poster related to classical South Indian dance known as Bharatanatyam that intrigued her. And as the story goes, she hung up her toe shoes and donned ankle bells and never looked back. And
and that took courage.
Yeah. And it really fascinated her because the art of the classical dance of South India allowed her to become the embodiment of a heavenly goddess come to earth. And
could you explain that? Like, how does what do you mean?
Well, when you are dancing Bharatanatyam, you are part of the dance is to dance the stories of the Hindu religion. And so you are dancing the tales of the deities of the Hindu religion. So she may be dancing a tale of Saraswati, who is the goddess of the arts, for example. So she, in her dance, would be a representation, an earthly representation of that goddess we call Saraswati.
So this
and
is a
embodying her.
A commitment to, if you're doing this dance, you're committing to being taken deeply on this journey, that it's not light entertainment. While it is entertaining on some level, this is serious stuff.
It comes from an ancient temple practice.
Uh-huh.
You know, so that you're doing these dances in reverence of the deity, and you're telling the stories so that the stories may or may not have been written down, or they may have been written down, but they weren't. Not all of the population had the ability to read. Not all the population was literate, and so the stories were handed down through these arts. And so, yes, it's a very big responsibility, and you could be considering yourself a conduit for the deity. So it's very rich and a very deep spiritual experience. And when I studied with her, I appreciated that. And I appreciated the beauty of the technique that she taught, and I appreciated the sincerity with which she taught what she learned, and I appreciated the reverence for her lineage of teachers. And so I think that's why you were impacted the way you were when I taught you what she taught me, because I did it as respectfully as I could, out of respect for the teachings and out of respect for my teacher.
And it certainly makes a difference, as I can attest to.
Yeah, right.
That this, there is movement for fun, which I encourage everyone to do.
Right.
And as with anything, the deeper you get involved with the subject matter, the greater the importance it begins to take on.
Well, one of the most important things that I share with everyone I have the opportunity to meet as best I can is something that Mimi refers to as the golden rule. And it comes from the Natya Shastra that was written down in approximately 600 to 800 BC. And my theory is that that's when somebody got around to it and wrote it down. So who knows how long it had been practiced before
that. Yeah.
And it's really beautiful because the gestures and the chant of the golden rule remind us of our heart-mind connection, and that what is in the heart-mind affects our emotions that pour out of us and that are received by the universe at large. So that's a big concept. So like you said, there are aspects of dance that are so much fun, you know, you're just grinning from ear to ear, and there are other aspects of dance that invite you to really spiral to your inner being and get in touch with that and recognize that who you are, who that true self is connecting to others, and the threads of what we are transports out from us into another time-space dimension. And ultimately, I hope when I dance that we're weaving those threads together.
That is quite a concept, and we're coming up now to another break, so stay tuned as we continue our discussion with Taheya.
Steps to a Healthier You. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Your health matters. Now, you know that, and I know that, but many of us don't know where to begin when it comes to taking care of our health. Osteopathic manual therapist and host Carol DeSilva Peaks believes that health is based on three principles. The human body is one dynamic unit. Structure and function are interrelated, and the body has an inherent ability to heal itself. Applying these principles will aid in the determining and the location of the disease. With proper treatment, health will be achieved. Find out more Thursdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific on Your Health Matters on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to Tuesdays with Maureen, Tales from the Search for True Self. To be a part of our discussion today, please call into the program at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. If you'd like, you may also send an email to mm@elderberryhealing.com. Now, back to Tuesdays with Maureen.
And welcome back. If you're just joining us, this is Tuesdays with Maureen, Tales from the Search for True Self, and my guest is Taheya. And before we took our last break, Taheya was talking about this connection of heart, body, body-mind, that a very reverent form of dance can bring about. And on another level, this body, mind, heart, wellness connection happens. And a lot of Taheya's work is involving working with women who are recovering from surgeries or have other aspects that they're looking for wellness. So, Taheya, can you tell us something about this work of yours?
Gladly. I was in the midst of teaching my classes, and a woman who was going through chemotherapy following a mastectomy ended up in my classes. And interestingly enough, she did not choose to be there. She was gifted the opportunity to participate in these classes by a friend who thought it would be an ideal way for her to reacquaint herself with her femininity. In other words, you know, obviously having a mastectomy, a portion of her femininity had literally been cut away. Mm. And yet that was on the exterior. And so her friend, bless her heart, thought that taking the classes with yours truly would help reawaken who she was on the inside, and that she still had plenty of femininity and sensuality and mysteriousness about her. And so she didn't know that's why her friend gifted her these classes.
Surprise!
Right, it was definitely a surprise. And she thought, what in the world am I doing in this belly dance class? You know, I am so, like, I mean, really, after having had this surgery, this is just ridiculous.
And that feeling, I'm sure she just wasn't feeling very willing to put herself out.
No, not at all. But meanwhile, here were a group of women of all ages, shapes, and sizes, and they were sort of shyly gathering together, and I invited them to slowly do some hand and arm movements, and we listened to some beautiful percussion music, which I'm excited to introduce your listeners to in the next segment. But at any rate, and we didn't even talk about the whole drumming experience I've had. However, back to this story at hand. So this woman heard the rhythms, and they kind of beckoned her. And so she kind of softened a little bit, and she tried the hand movements, and she did her best to respect that her friend had gifted this to her, and she thought, well, you know, she gave me this gift. I need to honor that. I'll give it a try. And she was reluctant. She was absolutely reluctant. But, you know, the rhythm beckoned her, the movements beckoned her, and suddenly she had this feeling of being swept away and remembering women along the Nile, along the fertile crescent of the Euphrates River. And she admitted that it might be a somewhat romantic notion, but she started to realize and see in her mind's eye ancient pictures of different goddesses, and it awakened something in her, and it just was the most beautiful thing to be a part of her recovery process and see her rediscover the beauty that resides within. And she was the inspiration for my Tehea Technique Healing Dance Protocol that I now bring to the hospitals in my local community, and that I incorporate into the programming that I do with Dr. Helene Leonetti called Women's Wisdom and Wellness.
And this is something that, again, women who aren't comfortable with movement or their bodies to begin with, and then have perhaps, just like you said, undergone surgeries and are and now have lost a physical portion of themselves, mm-hmm. perhaps, in reclaiming what it is to be feminine as beyond
what
we're given to see in our culture so often.
Right.
And is this, are you going to be bringing this technique to other areas in the future?
Well, my goal, number one, I do have a DVD, and I'm working on segmenting that so that it can actually be just become an online downloadable lesson so that people have access to it no matter where they are via their computer. So that's one of my immediate goals. And my long-range goal is to be able to do trainings with other healthcare providers who may be in a position of being the connection or, liaison for women
after
surgery.
Mm-hmm. Right. Bringing in awareness that there are these other aspects.
Well, and not only bringing in an awareness of introducing the women to go in search of, if you will, but to become the starting point for it, because we all benefit, as you know, from learning the mudra, for example, from the Golden Rule. And I'm very happy to share that. And it doesn't take a very long time before one can do it for themselves. Mm-hmm. And so my long-range goal is to be able to do training sessions for women across the country, you know, God willing, beyond that as well. But right now my immediate goal is nationally inviting these caregivers, these liaisons who are sort of the first person that a woman recovering from surgery connects with. You know, when they do the follow-up call to see how they're doing, et cetera, you know, they might give them a video about this and a DVD about that and a little ball to squeeze and this and that. And I'm hoping that as time goes on, some of the materials that I've learned, that I have found, reveal healing pathways and reveal the power of movement that, combined with our thought and choice and focus, can ignite self-loving healing pathways. So I'm hoping that I can do some training so that, because obviously as one person I can only be in so many places at one time.
Right.
So my goal is to be able to do some training to continue to share things like the Golden Rule as a means for, you know, awakening these healing pathways that are available to us.
And in addition, as the movements and as you're introducing women to the rhythms of this type of movement, and that of course brings in drumming as so important to Middle Eastern and even Far Eastern dance, and there's an awful lot of research going on about the therapeutic effects of drumming.
Mm-hmm.
And it is it synchronizes the right and left brain. They're using it for recovery from many illnesses. And drumming has been an important part of your development of the ancient arts. And how did drumming come to your world?
Well, as I said, I mean, my original introduction to the dance was through the music. And the music is the most important thing to me. And really, it's the rhythms underneath the melodies that really ignite me. And so as I was studying the movements inherent to these different cultures, I realized that I would be well served if I familiarized myself with the rhythms. And so I began to study the Dumbek, which is the hourglass goblet-shaped drum of North Africa and into the Middle East. And as I began to study the rhythms and tried to learn to play that drum, I had the good fortune of being acquainted with someone by the name of Glenn Velez and Lane Redman, who actually wrote the book When the Drummers Were Women. And this was very inspiring to me, and I began to learn that not only were the dance traditions that I was studying very deeply steeped in women's culture, but in fact the rhythms of these dance arts behind or underneath these dance arts were also very deeply steeped in women's culture. And in fact, the drums had been played by women in ancient temples and in celebration of the goddess. So this then, you know, led to this whole another layer of going deeper into the well and learning more about historical aspects of these arts that I was practicing. And meanwhile, like I said, I was studying the frame drum, which is a round-shaped drum with a head on it, and it almost looks like the Native American drum. The frame drum is indigenous to cultures all over the planet, so the Native Americans have it. And then, of course, like in Morocco, it's known as the tar, T-A-R, and it's a wonderful, wonderful drum that that really resonated with me, and I very quickly gave up the Dumbek and went on to study frame drum.
And you have another ancient instrument that you have been working on reintroducing to the modern world. And if people could just call to mind for a moment an image from ancient Egypt, and you've seen paintings on the temples, on TV shows, in Indiana Jones movies, and somewhere in those paintings there's always a woman traveling through holding what looks like a large kind of rattle. And it's involved with the procession, and there seems to be a great deal of happiness and movement going on. What is that instrument, Tahaya?
That instrument is known as the sistrum, S-I-S-T-R-U-M. And I had the good fortune to travel to Egypt and saw those depictions of those goddesses in procession with the sistrum in hand. And it was a very powerful experience. And in fact, the sistrum is a percussion instrument that is often depicted with the image of the goddess Hathor on the face of it. And celebrations and reverent dedications to that goddess are, again, very deeply steeped in ancient cultures. We don't even really know how far back the celebrations and reverence related to the goddess Hathor go. And it's very interesting because she is acknowledged as a mother goddess in Egyptian culture, and yet most of us only know of Isis. And I believe it's because the cult around the goddess Hathor was so strong that Christian civilization, if you will, when they came through Egypt, did a powerful job of suppressing the rituals dedicated to Hathor and defacing that temple. So it must have been a very powerful cult, because they did a very good job of just about eliminating it. And so all that's left is Isis, who, of course, is a winged goddess and is very sort of lovable as opposed to being powerful. Not that she isn't powerful, but not in the same way that apparently Hathor was considered. It's a mystery. But at any rate, it's very powerful to see some of the depictions that remain on the temple walls. And when I came back from Egypt, I was curious. I thought, well, here I play finger cymbals, I've studied Dumbek, I play the frame drum, and when we see depictions in ancient cultures, particularly obviously in Egypt, we also see this other percussion instrument, and in fact, this instrument was used in the innermost sanctuary. The harp didn't make it in there. The frame drum didn't make it into the innermost sanctuary. The sistrum did. So I thought, I gotta get me one of those. And when I went in search of finding one, I really couldn't find one. And so I've been blessed to be working with a variety of people working on a prototype, and hope to be announcing the reemergence of this beautiful instrument that, like you said, is very rattle-like in nature. And so it has a very small learning curve. You can pretty much put it in your hand and play it.
This is very exciting news.
It is.
Stay tuned. When we come back, Tehaya is going to give us a performance from her work. We'll be right back.
Helping you make informed decisions for your life. This is Voice America Health and Wellness.
There is a necessary connection between the mind, body, and spirit for optimal health and healing. Host Patricia Dean Escoto will explore that connection on Pathways to Healing. Her mission now is to share knowledge of her own personal healing with you through her guests and discoveries. We'll discuss a combination of traditional and alternative health strategies to maintain your health and wellness. Pathways to Healing is heard live Wednesdays at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to Tuesdays with Maureen, Tales from the Search for True Self. To be a part of our discussion today, please call into the program at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. If you'd like, you may also send an email to mm@elderberryhealing.com. Now, back to Tuesdays with Maureen.
Welcome back. And if you're just joining us, this is Tuesdays with Maureen, Tales from the Search for True Self, and my guest is Tehaya. And before our previous break, we were discussing Tehaya's work with the sistrum, reintroducing the sistrum into our culture. And this is part of Tehaya's mission and calling in life, which is reawakening these ancient arts. And that also includes additional arts, Tehaya, such as the spoken word.
Yes, it's been an incredible journey. And as I immersed myself deeper and deeper into the different cultural aspects of these various countries I wanted to represent through dance, I became more interested in learning more about the rhythms of the cultures and studying the drumming, as I mentioned before. And then at one of the retreats that I went to immerse myself in my studies, I had the good fortune of meeting Farouk Tekbalek, and he introduced me to the poetry of Rumi. And when I came back from that retreat, it was a wonderful period of time because it was just when Coleman Barks' translations of Rumi actually hit the bestseller list. So everywhere you went, there were opportunities to buy basically, I forget what it was called, but something like the Essential Rumi.
And so, for those not familiar with Rumi, who was Rumi?
Rumi is a 13th century mystic poet from who is acquainted with Turkish culture. So his poetry is very inviting, and it truly speaks to my experience of finding myself through the drumming and the dance. And his experience of communicating his poetry was through community coming together, and in community they were drumming and they were moving. And he is attributed to be, if you will, sort of the instigator of the Sufi movement, because in a lamentation, he went around and around and around a pole, and so that spinning movement is what is the basis of the Sufi movement. And in addition to Rumi, I then was introduced to the poetry of Hafiz, who is another mystic poet, but from another century later. And knowing that the history of their work was immersed and accompanied by drumming, and I'd been studying drumming, I thought, you know, let me try this. And so I began to take their words and combine them with percussive accompaniment, and I've been very blessed to work with a variety of wonderful percussionists. And in fact, I've produced 3 meditation CDs, the first one with Pete Barnhart, the second one with Paolo Mattioli, and the third one with Grant Smith. And so I thought this afternoon I could play a little sample of the accompaniment that I enjoy with Grant Smith, who recorded my third CD with me. He's a brilliant percussionist who plays Middle and Far Eastern rhythms on a variety of instruments, the rick, the tabla, the tar, and he creates this soundscape to accompany my poetry. So if you like, I would be very happy to share a sampling of that with you.
I would be honored. We're in for a treat.
Thank you. Okay, so I'm going to cue up my CD with Grant playing for me, and here we go. I hear a drum. I hear a drum in my soul's ear. I hear a drum in my soul's ear, coming from the depths of the stars. And that drum sound rises on the air. Its beat, my heart. A voice inside the drum. It says, I know. I know you are tired, but come. Come. This is the way. Dance. Dance when you're broken open. Dance when you've torn the bandage off. Dance. In the middle of fighting, dance in your blood. Dance. Dance. Dance when you're perfectly free. Dance, my dear, dance. Dance with joy. Dance to the rhythm of life, the rhythm of the hills and the sea and the earth. The world dances in life and death, in laughter and tears. Behold, my heart dances in the delights of 100 arts. See, who will feel ancient ritual powers that heal? Dance, my dear, dance. May everything beautiful and creative in you manifest.
Thank you, Tehea. That was lovely.
You're so very welcome. Thank you.
And that poem was an absolute invitation, just as you've been discussing how you invite others in to dance.
And it's actually how I introduce myself to most audiences.
Very inviting.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And in fact, the name Tehea is an Arabic name that means greetings or welcome.
Mm.
And it's my intention to welcome people to this magic carpet ride of exploration and invite them to join me.
Wonderful. So today we have been fortunate to have Tehea on the show. Tehea, whose name is to welcome. And I hope this has been an invitation for all of you listening, an invitation to further explore ways of wellness through rhythm and the spoken word and movement, because we are all beings of movement. Whether you think you are or not, you're moving.
Mm-hmm.
And it also makes me think that everything old is new again, as they
That's
say.
Right.
And there's an old maxim that's written in the Old Testament, and it goes something like this: what has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. So I thank you all for joining us. Tehea, thank you so much for being a guest today.
Well, it's been a lot of fun, Maureen. Thank you so much for thinking of me and inviting me to join you today.
And you can visit Tehea on her website. Actually, she has two websites, and those websites are... What are those websites, Tehea?
Tehea.com, T-A-H-Y-A, Tehea.com. And the other one is a brand new one. I'm very excited launching. It's called danceandthespirit.com.
Danceandthespirit.com. And we've just had a delicious taste of Tehea's tale. She's an Irish German-American woman who, in following her inner promptings, she unlocked a profoundly creative artistry that transcends culture of birth, time, and place, and connects with an ancient river of tradition that flows within our physical, mental, and spiritual human experience. It's flowing within all of us. So join me again next week for another adventure in Tales from the Search for True Self. Thanks, everyone. See you next week.
We appreciate your joining us and hope that you took some personal enlightenment from today's program. Tuesdays with Maureen, Tales from the Search for True Self, can be heard live every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. We'll talk again next week.